Hey, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. What's going to happen if I move to Ecuador or Portugal or Ireland or one of these places? And I'm going to have to say, I'm an American formerly of Bangkok, now in Lisbon, now in, Cuenca. Well, unfortunately, that's not going to happen for quite a few years for financial reasons and also just because I don't really want to. I don't really want to move from here. Some people, you know, the other day, one of my Patreon patrons wrote to me. He was a new guy. And I just had done that video, he'll be miserable wherever he is or something like that. And he said, oh, I really wish I could, that you'd do something a little more positive. And there are a lot of positives about living in Thailand. There are also some negatives. And I think to avoid the negatives is to just, you're just skirting reality. I see these negatives almost every day, and I'll give you an example. This morning I got ready to do the podcast, and I'm sitting here, and I thought, oh, all right, let me start it, and I put in the headphones, and I crank up the recorder, and I start speaking, and then I thought, oh, shit, I haven't had my coffee yet. That's blasphemy. I got to go get some coffee. So I shut it down, and I started walking out. My office is in my bedroom, which is a bad place for it. But until we move, until we get a bigger place, it's going to have to suffice. I've actually thought about, there's a photographer here in Bangkok that I've thought about talking to about using some of his office space, because he offers it out, and he's a respected photographer, and I don't know, I just thought about it, but I just don't really have it's an extra couple hundred bucks a month, and I just don't really have it. I prefer to spend that on equipment. I need some equipment. So anyway, I was walking out of my door, and I see into the kids' room through the door that they had left the door open to the balcony outside that where you can see the main road. And they do that because sometimes it gets a little warm in the room. And so they just open the door up, and they've got a screen door that, keeps the mosquitoes from coming in. So I thought, oh, I got to go over and shut it down. Shut the door. Shut it down. I've got to go shut the door. And I walk over, and I look outside, and the first thing that I saw, and I've known about this, for many, many years, but it just hit me because it was staring me right in the face. I walked to the door, and I look over, and I see all these electrical wires. They're just a fucking mess, and that's the only way that I can put it. Just a fucking mess. I mean, dangerous. Probably not dangerous unless I'm running around on the balcony, the roof portion of in front of the balcony, which I'm not going to do because I don't feel like falling through it. It's only, like a plexiglass or something. I don't know what the plastic. It's just the overhang for the garage, for the driveway or whatever, where we park our cars. If we had a car, we could park one. Let's put it that way. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself and a little too detailed here, but basically these wires are staring me in the face, and I thought, holy shit. And I remember about 2 or 3 months ago, I walked outside of my door. I go out into the street. I turn around just to make sure that the door was locked or something, I don't know. And I noticed that all these wires are hanging down from the same spot, the where the electrical, the telephone poles, the electrical poles are located, there were some loose wires hanging, and they're starting to get into the tree. And then they're coming down into the front to where when you walk out the door, they're about a foot over your head. I thought, shit, this is not good, you know. Now, I don't know all that much about electricity. I'm not an electrician, and I certainly won't want to get electrocuted. So I go and get a wooden pole, and I start trying to push this thing up. And I manage to flip it over the cave, the electrical cable. And so it's no longer hanging in our faces or just above our heads. And I manipulated a couple other cables with this wooden rod, and I was like, Jesus Christ, you know. These, I don't know how they managed to assemble such a poor excuse for the way that the electricity is routed. I mean, if you're in, I mean, where I come from in the United States, it's like that kind of shit would not fly. But then on the other hand, I'm like, hey, you know what? I understand. This is Thailand. And you're not paying for a sanitary, sanitized, over-sanitized environment. I don't want to say it's unsanitary. There are definitely places in Thailand and in Bangkok that are not sanitary. And I've been thinking about for a while waking up at about 4 in the morning and taking my camera out with the flash and going over to a corner that I know of around Bangkobi Mall and taking photos of all the rats. Because one morning I think I was going to the airport. I drove by in the taxi, and we stopped at this light, and then I noticed to the left all these little things scurrying around, and I was like, holy shit, there must have been 100 of them. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is not a good thing. But they're everywhere. You just may not know that. You know, I mean, they might be under your house for all you know, but you know, so I don't particularly like some of the things here. There are definitely some negatives here. And I'm not going to get into them because I just don't feel like, you know, listing them. But there are a hell of a lot of positives. And if you take a look, and you know, you'll see this clusterfuck of electrical wires because I decided to take a photo of it. So you know, you get an idea of what I'm talking about. And honestly, I think that while it's bad, it's not nearly as bad as some other places. In some places, it's absolutely horrible. If something just moved the wrong way, there's going to be people getting shocked or whatever. I mean, I think I'm fairly safe. We're going to be safe here in our house. But I mean, you know, well, here's another negative. Listen, we rent our house. We rent our house because it's inexpensive. We have enough room. It's a safe neighborhood. My wife likes it. You know, she's the one who picked it out, like always. She's the one who finds these places where we live because, you know, it's a good value. And, you know, we're just trying to figure out what do we want to do. Do we really want to buy a place? And, you know, I mean, in the next couple of years, we're going to buy a place. Do we want to buy a place in Bangkok? Do we want to buy some land in the United States? I mean, we just don't know. Do we want to go to another country? I don't know, but that's the answer because, you know, when you go to another country, you're starting all over again. Things are, you're starting anew. You're starting fresh. You've got to learn everything. And most of the places that I want to move, aside from maybe the Netherlands, I don't know very well. And even the Netherlands, even though that I've been there probably 6 or 7 times and spent a couple of weeks each time there, I don't know that I want to live there now. And I don't know that once all the red tape and the bureaucracy starts revealing itself, when I have to get into all that I'm going to want to stay there. So, and you know, then I've got my wife to think about, my kids to think about. You know, my kids are going to be in university in a couple of years. They're going to start university, and Alex will start in 2 years. which is pretty unbelievable. You know, for me, that's really it's hard to believe. But let's see here. I better turn the air on. It's getting hot in here. Shut the door. All right. There. Oh. Turn the air on. Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what. We've got a small air conditioner in our bedroom. We've got a large one downstairs in the front room. And the small one, it takes 20 minutes to get really cold or cool. The one downstairs, immediately. I mean, in seconds, you're like, holy shit, this thing is cold. So anyway, so getting back to the positives and the negatives. I've never been somebody who believed in horoscopes and that kind of thing. I think, you know, it's a bunch of poppycock, if you will. But I am a Libra. That's what my sign is. You know, hey, what's your sign? And I tend to be the kind of person that I look at things from both sides. I try to have the balance. I try to see the good things and the bad things. You know, I try to see both sides. And I have started to wonder, I wonder if that's because I'm a Libra. You know, I've actually given it a little bit of credence, which is surprising to me because I never have, you know, it's been so many years that I've never really even thought of it. But in the past, say, year or two, I've started to think, maybe I think this way because I'm a Libra. And then again, maybe, you know, I'm just looking at both sides of whatever the situation is. So now, I have to say that, you know what? I'll tell you how out of the loop I am. You know, in our little village, we have, obviously, we live in a townhouse. So we have neighbors all around us, which it could be a good thing. You know, I mean, you have people to yap to once in a while. If you go outside, somebody says, hello, how are you? Oh, you know, how's your kids or whatever? Oh, he's playing guitar or whatever. You know, you just go outside and they are friendly. Now, we have a lady that lives next door to us who we had myself and my wife and my kids actually had an issue with this lady because she yelled at the kids the very first day that we were here because they were excited. They wanted to see the house and they were, you know, a little younger then and they ran up and down the stairs like twice. And then the next day, she gave them a hard time, which I didn't like because she was talking smack to them. And I went out and said something to her. And basically, she got pissed off and started saying things to me. And I told her to fuck off, that if she didn't like it, it was tough shit. And then my wife, a couple days later, she said something to my wife about what an asshole I was or something. And my wife told her to fuck off, that, you know, she's got to understand that she's got a neighbor and that we're not the kind of people who are real loud. We don't play loud music all the time or very often at all. We don't keep our TV blaring all night. And we try to be private, somewhat quiet people. And she tried to explain that to him. Now, the dog, our dog, sneaks out under the fence and goes over to her. And she likes our dog. So because of that, we have reformulated and became, I don't want to say friends, but we've become friendly. And then she saw me, there's the village guy he's a little crazy, he's a bit of a drunk, but he's not a real big guy, but he's not a small guy. He's big for a Thai. And he started shit with me. I think I've said something about this. He started shit with me a couple of months ago. Probably 2 months ago, 3 months ago. He started shit with me. He had a couple of sticks in his hand, and he got aggressive with me. And I knocked him out. I hit him about 10 times. Knocked him out. And in the process, I screwed up my hand because my left hand has been broken many times. which it's extremely painful now because I have arthritis in both of my hands. And so my hands are, they're a little bit painful. But anyway, once she saw me take care of that dude, where the guy got in my face and started, and I thought she, in my opinion, she probably thought I was just going to, that maybe I was all talk and I was just going to like back down from the guy and, you know, I don't know, cower or something. But because a lot of the people in the village do. Even the motorcycle drivers are like, oh, that guy scares me. I don't know what he's going to do to me. And, you know, and I beat the piss out of him. Which, you know, it's not saying all that much, you know, really, because the guy probably never has never been engaged in a real fight. You know, he's never trained to fight. So, I mean, I didn't want to hurt the guy. And then, you know, I tried to get away from him. I tried to do everything I could. Anyway, he got knocked out. So I gained a measure of respect with her. So we have these neighbors around us. And we have the chicken lady who serves chicken quintillo. We've got the pork lady who serves the pork. We got the duck lady who's on the corner who serves the duck. We got the old lady who, where there's a couple old ladies, but the we got the old lady who we pay the rent to. We got the old lady who serves us dinner sometimes. We order dinner from her. And so we've got a little neighborhood that is, I would say, friendly. More friendly than some places that I've lived in the United States. And probably even friendlier than some places in Thailand that I've lived. But we had this neighbor that lived on the other side of us, onto the left side of us. And the guy, apparently the guy was one of these guys who was, you know, pro-government, pro-tax, and anti-foreigner. Now, I don't know, but this is what I've been told by some of the people in the neighborhood. He used to sell, like, durian, and he would sell some other kinds of fruit once in a while, but he also sold, like, kids' toys and school supplies, and he's never done anything to me. He's never done anything negative, never did a thing. But he never said hello either. And there were times when I was ready to say hello to him, and he just looked away from me. Didn't even want to look at me. You know, and I was like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, okay, yeah, that's fine. Well, we have the window, our window faces his townhouse, our side window. And I told my kids, I said, listen, you know, I'm telling them all the time, close the damn curtains, you know, don't leave the curtains open. I don't want people looking into our house. Close the curtains. And so, you know, they're like, oh, it's not a big deal. And then my wife goes, you do know that he moved, don't you? They moved. It was a family, an older guy and an older woman. And I guess their kids have moved. They moved out. I said, no, I didn't know that. Really? They moved a couple months ago. I didn't even know. I had no fun. I just thought, oh, I haven't seen the guy. Maybe he's on vacation. Now, I said to, you know, why'd they move? They sold their place. How much did they sell it for? 4 million baht. Okay. Now, that's not a whole lot of money. It's more than we got in cash. But it was 4 million baht, and I wouldn't want to, I just don't think I could live in, and say, oh, I bought the place, and now I live in this village for, you know, years and years, and, you know, I just don't want to tie myself up like that, you know? And that's what you do, you know? I mean, once you buy a house, you're committed. And it's one thing if you buy something and, you know, it's to be used, like, where you come for a couple of months, and you know, you can afford it, and that's it. That's all it is. It's another thing if you are like, well, this is where I live, and I'm going to live here unless I want to move and rent somewhere else and rent this place out. I'm going to live here for at least, say, 5 or 10 years. But it surprised me. I was thinking, oh, this place is probably 3 million baht. Now, the place that we live in, it's a little more run down. I mean, it's not that run down, but it's an old house. And while it's not in terrible condition, there are some things, you know, there's little things that the bathroom toilet before we you know, the toilet on the that was in the bathroom when we moved in. You could pee in the toilet, but you couldn't take a shit for some reason. And I was telling my wife, what the hell is that? I mean, what good is that? And she said, listen, we got to get a new toilet. I said, all right. So we bought a new toilet. Now, why do we have to buy the toilet? You see, that's one of the negatives. When you're living in a place like this and they say, hey, listen, we're going to give you a good rate. You know, we're going to give you your rent's going to be cheap. But we do that because, as is the norm here in Thailand, at least with most places, that's why they call it the norm. When there's a problem like, you know, with the toilet or something like that, generally, you got to pay to fix it. Not the landlord, which to me, that sucks. And like yesterday, this is what I was getting at in this long-winded explanation. But yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I go into the kitchen, I turn the light on, I go, what's the deal? Light doesn't work. Of course, my wife says, oh, the light must be burned out. I said, okay, all right. I'll get one tomorrow, right? We didn't have any here. We usually have a couple, but we didn't have any. I said, all right. So I go and buy a couple, come back, install it, boom, hit the button, it doesn't work. Son of a bitch. I tell my kids when they come home, go tell the old lady, tell her that we need to have this thing fixed, okay, because there's a problem with it. And I figured it was the housing of the light. The whole thing was screwed up. And so my kid goes down there and, a couple minutes, I don't know, maybe an hour later, the guy comes. He's worked on our house before a little bit. And he comes, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're going to have to fix this. I said, yeah, okay, so fine. But you're going to have to pay for it. I went, what? Yeah, the lady said she's not paying for this one. I said, uh-huh, okay. How much? $8 or something like that. $7. I said, all right, that's not a problem. I said, here's the money. Go, please fix it for me. All right, he comes back, he fixes it, you know. So, although that was a very small, you know, small thing, I think the toilet cost us something like, you know, $125 or something, which is still not all that much money. But when you add it up, you go, I paid for the toilet, I paid for the sink, I paid for the light, I paid for the wall, I paid for the roof, I paid for this, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know, I add, another 1,000 baht a month to my rent for the maintenance, or 2,000 a month for the rent, for the maintenance. So there are some negatives. That's just, these are a few of the small negatives. Now, one positive, and I know they have this in the United States, and they've had it here in Thailand for a little while, but I just started using it, and it's so convenient. It's just unbelievable, and that is you can have your groceries delivered to your house. Yesterday, for the first time, I ordered through Happy Fresh. Now, there are a few of them, and I'm going to do a video for YouTube about this, but Happy Fresh is one of them. There is another one, I think it's called, what is it, Deli Shop? Let me see here. Yeah, delishop.co.th. Tesco Lotus has their own. You can order through them. However, Happy Fresh has Tesco Lotus in their app, so you can order through them also. Now, Happy Fresh, let me see here, I can tell you. Let's see here. Happy Fresh has the following supermarkets: Tesco Lotus, Big C, Fall Food Mafia, which is like a gourmet kind of food place. They got the Company B, okay, Gourmet Market, which is part of Fresh Mart, which is where I shop the majority of the time, because it's convenient, it's in the mall. What is this? Bay Auto, which is a German delicatessen. Jagota Gourmet, Sunshine Market, the Accidental Butcher, Food Glorious Food, Fruit Fest. Obviously, you know what they sell there, fruit. Wine Connection, Mega, what is this? Mega Selection, Wine Now, K Market for Korean food. And they are adding them, adding more all the time. Now, you would think that, oh, well, you know, how much is it going to cost? Because it's probably expensive. On the contrary. And I must say, I am not being paid by any of these companies to talk about this at all. Nobody's paying me. I just think it is so useful. And I'll tell you why. Because first of all, you can just... I don't do this because I go out and I go out, I take photos, I run errands, I go to the mall and I'll chill out at Starbucks, or I'll just sit there and write, or I'll you know, edit a video or whatever, or I'll just sit there and have a coffee. And while I'm at the mall, it doesn't mean that every time I go in, I want to have to bring a list and try to do some shopping, because my wife doesn't have much time to go out and go grocery shopping. And I like to go also myself, because I like to get the foods that I like and that, well, now that are healthier. You know, we've tried now, we're cutting back on the meat, and we're eating a more plant-based diet. We're still eating meat, predominantly fish, shrimp, crab, or imitation crab, whatever. But we're eating seafood, and every once in a while we'll have a little chicken or some beef. But we've been trying to cut back on that and just basically eat a little more, eat more vegetables and fruit, okay? Eat healthier. And I don't want to have to go every day to these places, you know, to wherever I might go. Usually I go to Foodland or I go to Fresh Mart. And sometimes I can't find this stuff, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Or a lot of times what happens with, like, herbs is I may not know the word for the particular vegetable or herb. So I punch it into the translator, and sometimes, you know, I read it, and I'll figure out what it is, and I'll tell the person, you know, what I need. And sometimes they haven't got a fucking clue where it is. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I just want some parsley. I want some, you know, I want some chives or whatever it might be. Okay. Now, with these apps, because they're in English, you want chives, you type in chives. If they got chives, boom, add it to the cart. And what you could do is you could keep that cart running. So you keep it running all week. You got your shopping list, is you're just doing it as you think of it. You know, like, hey, you know what? Yesterday I thought, we haven't had Nokia in a long time, because Fresh Mart, the fuckers, anytime they have something that I like, it seems like they just do away with it and they stop selling it. Pop-Tarts. My kids like Pop-Tarts. I don't eat them. I don't want to eat the fucking things. I don't need to eat them. My kids like to eat them once in a while when they're in a hurry to go to school. Once in a while they like them because they can eat them and they're a little sweet. It's different. It's not the usual, which is they eat some cereal, they have some eggs or whatever. So that's something else. And, you know, they may not have something. So guess what? With this, you can have three different carts going. You can buy some stuff from Tesco Lotus. You can buy some stuff from Gourmet Thailand, which is basically is Fresh Mart. You could buy some stuff from Big C. So what I did was yesterday I bought some stuff from Big C. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I bought. My orders. Okay, Big C. I ordered some cucumbers. I ordered some potato gnocchi, which my kids have not had for a while. So I said, hey, today we're going to have some gnocchi. I got some tortillas. I got water. I got two different sizes of water, and I got some Parmesan cheese. Now, I also ordered some pita bread, and I ordered some garbage bags, and I ordered some illy coffee. And I had said to myself, you know what? I'm spending way too much money on coffee. I don't really have the money to piss away on this coffee, but I'm making it such a big deal that I keep buying it. You know, and I mean, all right, I'm saving from Starbucks because I'm not buying coffee at Starbucks, but I'm still spending too much money on coffee. So I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm going to have to do away with this. I'm going to have to make it a treat because I have a couple of cans of some other stuff that is really good. I like it. It's Cafe Bustillo. Someone in, where's he at? I think he's in Korea. He sent me a couple of cans of it, and then my mother brought me a couple of packs of it. So I've got a ton of this stuff, and it's pretty inexpensive. But I saw that the Illy was 50% off. And I went, holy shit, you know what? I'm going to buy two cans. Because it's 50% off, I'm paying for like one can. I said, all right, you know, it'll still be a kind of a little special treat. But if I can get them for this price, you know, I'll go ahead and buy them now. That way I don't have to, you know, think about it later on and I don't have to pay more. So I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, which, okay, faulty logic maybe, but what else did I get? Oh, the pita bread, yeah. So those three things, the Illy coffee, the garbage bags, and the pita bread, they were out of stock. Now, I don't want them changing things for me. I don't want them giving me some other coffee for Illy. I want the Illy coffee. So what you can do is when you're ready to check out, it will give you the choice to have them call you. You have a shopper. That person goes and shops for you. And they will call you and say, hey, we don't have this. Or is it okay? We have something similar. We don't have the big cucumbers. We got the little ones. You know, that kind of thing. It gives you the choice. Or you can just say, don't do anything. Call me, don't do anything, or replace with something else. So I put, you know, don't replace. And those three things, they were out of stock. Now, I paid $989 baht for delivery, the Parmesan cheese. I bought Nestle drinking water, a liter and a half, six bottles for 54 baht, which is, that's about, what, $1.65 or something like that. I also brought two packs of Nestle drinking water. They're 600 milliliters per bottle. There's 12 bottles in a pack. I bought two packs. Those also are 54 baht per pack. Now, down the street, they sell for 65 or 70 baht. You go in the grocery, they sell for 60 or 65 baht. So I got them cheaper by buying online. Now, they may be this price at Big C. I don't know. I don't usually shop at Big C. So, but I saved money from what I would usually pay, okay? Even the Noki was a little bit cheaper. Now, that was 989 baht for Parmesan, for two small packs of water, one big pack of water, tortillas, two packs of Noki, which is enough for me and the kids, and two packs of cucumbers, okay? So that was, what does that work out to be? It's about 25 bucks. Okay, something like that, 28 bucks. Now, I forgot that my wife had said, hey, the dogs need some dog food. And this is a big thing because I'm always like, they're not my dogs. Go buy the goddamn dog food yourself. You know, you want the dog food, go and buy it. I didn't want the little dogs. They bring them in. You know, if I was going to have a dog, I'd have a manly dog. I don't want a little shih tzu kind of dog. But whatever, I love the dogs, they're great, you know, and I always complain about it, but I always go and get them the dog food, you know, because I don't want them to be without food, so I'm like, all right, we're, you know, they're not going to have any food tonight if I don't buy some food. Well, I'm going to have to give them some rice or whatever, some chicken or pork or whatever. I'll get the dog food, right? So I forgot to order, I went to the mall yesterday, actually, and had to run a couple quick errands, and then I came home. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to order something. And I forgot to order the dog food. So I thought, oh, well, let's see what I can do. How can I go ahead and order this? So what I did was this time I shopped at Tesco Lotus. And do you know that the dog food for our dogs normally is about 265 baht to about all the way up to like 312 baht. Each bag is 3 kilos, and this time when I bought at Tesco Lotus, now, they you know, this is probably the price all the time or whatever. I don't know. But I never shop at Tesco Lotus. I just don't. I mean, it's across the street from the mall. It's a little bit of a pain in the neck. Well, it's not really that it's a pain in the neck. I just don't like the place. I just don't like the way that it's set up. It reminds me of, you know, like Walmart. And I just don't like it. You know, that's the only way I can say it. I just don't like the place as much as I like, say, shopping at Fresh Mart or Foodland or some of these other places. Anyway, but that's okay because I didn't have to go. So, you know, I mean, I don't mind giving them the cash. They got the product I want. Boom. $229. I said, you know what? These are pretty cheap. I'm going to get two bags. So now the dogs have 6 kilograms of dog food, which they're fairly small dogs. They'll last for a little while. With the delivery charge and everything, cost 590 baht. Okay. That's, you know, what, $16.50 or something like that. Normally, I paid 590. I gave the guy the extra 10 baht for the 590, and I gave him an extra 20, and the guy was thrilled. So I paid 620 baht. Okay. 620 baht, that's 310 a bag. Now, that was, the guy delivered it to my door. I didn't have to carry it around. I didn't have to jump in a taxi and deal with that shit. A lot of times, I'm in the mall, I'm like, shit, I can't walk home because I got 4 bags of groceries and I'm not walking all the way home. I mean, it's going to take me, you know, 45 minutes to walk home. I'm not walking 45 minutes with milk and bread and all the stuff in my hands, and it's heavy, not to mention that it's heavy, you know. So I always have to take a taxi. So I got to pay anyway. But since I ordered this and they brought it to me, if I was at the mall, I could just take the Songtao home. 6 baht. So save a little money on that. So you may pay a tad bit more, but you save in other ways. And so, you know, if you're paying a tad bit more, you're paying for the convenience. You're either... for instance, let's see, on the other order, I paid 989 baht. I saved a little bit on the water, and I saved a little bit on the gnocchi. I mean, you know, you're talking about, maybe I saved about 10, 15 baht on the gnocchi. I think I paid a little bit more on the tortillas, but the delivery fee was free for that one. It was 989 baht, and I gave the guy 71. What did I give him? I gave him 1,060 baht. So I gave him a little tip. So I paid a little bit more, but guess what? I didn't have to lug that shit around. I didn't have to take a taxi home from the mall, which saves me. That saves me about 50 baht, 55 baht. Because I didn't have to take the taxi, so instead I spent 6 baht. So really, it saves me, let's say, 40 baht. You're talking about a little bit of money. I mean, yes, every little bit adds up, but just like with using Uber for me, I like using Uber because I know I'm not going to have any fucking issues. And if I do, they don't get paid. You know. So when I want to go somewhere, I know, I don't really have any emergencies nowadays. You know, if I have an emergency, I don't mind, you know, fuck, I got to go. I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. Okay, fine. I understand. But most of the time, I don't have any emergencies. And I have the time to schedule things. So, like I said before, now, well, in the past, I might have said, all right, I'm going to go to the mall 5 times. And out of those, maybe I'm going to go somewhere 3 times, I'm going to go take photos. And then when I'm out... on 2 of those days, I'm going to have to go here and go there because I'm close. Now what I'll do is I won't go to the mall as much. And instead of going out 3 or 4 times a week and going running around downtown somewhere, I'll do that once a week or twice a week, and I'll use the Uber. And so it works out to be about the same cost. And I love that because you know what? The last thing I want to do is piss my life away sitting in traffic. And I don't know if any of you remember, I did one video, one collaboration with a guy named Steve's Kitchen. And he's in Malaysia right now with his wife. And he's been around. We were talking just yesterday. He and I were talking about how time is so valuable. And nowadays, especially when you get into your 50s, it's not like you're, 17, 18, 20, 25 years old when you go, hey, I got my whole life ahead of me. And, you got blocks, these 5 or 10 year blocks of time that you can afford to piss away. I mean, really you shouldn't piss any of it away. But if you're 18, 19 years old and you decide, hey, I'm going to take a year before I go to college, it's not a big deal to piss that year away. I mean, it's not really pissing it away, but I mean, you have that time to spare. Once you hit about 50, 60 years old, you ain't got a whole lot of time to spare. You better use that time wisely. So, for me, the convenience of having the food delivered, my groceries, is fantastic. And when my kids are out of school, it's going to be so nice. Because I'll be out taking photos, the kids will be home, and I'm going to say, you guys are home, guess what? The groceries are coming, and I could be sitting there on my way to a particular place where I'm gonna that I'm going to photograph, and I could be ordering the groceries while I'm sitting in the taxi. They're going to, the groceries get there, and I'm going to make sure they get there before I come home. And that way, the kids get to put everything away, and they get to see what they've got, So, at night, if I ask if they've eaten yet, and they say no, well, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do we got? I get that kind of thing. And for some reason, because of the way my life is set up, which is I make videos, I take photos, I write, so I have the freedom to spend my time how I want, which is, in my opinion, is something that I worked hard for. I worked hard to be able to do this, to set myself up in that lifestyle. A lot of people, they will never have that lifestyle, and okay, that's fine. They may love their lifestyle. But my wife, she's got to work, and in her job, she doesn't really have the time and the ability to schedule herself to where she could set her life up like I have. So because of that, I have a lot of time with the kids at home. Some days I go, hey, listen, you guys eat breakfast. We got for breakfast. Make your own breakfast. I'm out of here. Or sometimes I'm awake. 5:30 in the morning, boom, I'm down. I'm in Siloam at 6 o'clock or whatever, or 5:30. The sun's just coming up. The lights are just being turned on. And my kids sleep in. I come home sometimes 12 o'clock, they're still asleep. This is on their summer vacation. But they're making their own food. So I've somehow morphed into this chef, an American dad in Bangkok. An American chef in Bangkok? I guess I am a chef. I cook food. I don't know that I'd be classified as a chef. But there is a chance that I'm going to start a channel, a food channel, about food in Thailand and Asia and my ability and inability to cook it. I've been thinking about that. Of course, that would probably make my mother extremely happy because my mother is a nutritionist and she's gourmet chef, and she loves her cooking. Boy, she knows all the top chefs. She knows all the big names. She watches all the shows, and she has taught me a lot. And I really do appreciate that because let me tell you something. I mean, about the extent of my cooking ability, say 20 years ago, was making a grilled cheese sandwich, making some spaghetti. That was about it. Now I'm starting to learn what tastes good together. What is it called? Flavor profiles. I'm starting to learn what tastes good together. I like, once in a while I'm like, all right, I'm going to really make this up. It's going to, it's, you know, this is pretty, This is a delicate, intricate thing that I need to do here. My kids bugged me the other day. They want me to make some loklok, which if you don't know what loklok is, it's a Cambodian beef dish. It's very simple to make. It's basically just black pepper and like soy sauce and dark soy sauce. And it's you get some good meat and you slice it up. And then you dip it in like a little pepper and lime, like a little tiny bowl. You just kind of dip the meat in there. And it's very, very good, but they like it a lot. And I learned how to cook it. I've only cooked it like 2 or 3 times now. And but they love it. There are some dishes of mine that they love. They love my pad see ew. They love, like I said, the loklok. I make some different kinds of spaghetti. The other day I made them some, it was just spaghetti with shrimp, garlic, a little bit of onion, just a little bit of onion, some red pepper with some extra virgin olive oil sprinkled all over it, and a little Parmesan cheese. And they loved it. Fantastic. However, if you're trying to lose weight, pasta is not, you know, it's not something you should be eating all the time. So, I try to limit the number of times per month we have pasta. We may have it 2 or 3 times a month, and that's about it. But somehow I've morphed into this Mr. Mom chef kind of person who, you know, I just happen to be there. And sometimes I'm not. I mean, sometimes my wife has to, she's got to take off early from work, you know, if I'm traveling. But what I was talking about with Steve's Kitchen, now he's a fantastic chef. I mean, he really knows his stuff and he makes some good food. Was how when you get older and you've traveled all over, you just don't get the same thrill of going to new places. There are some places that excite me a little bit or might excite me. But there are other places where I'm just like, hey, you know what? I don't know. I a couple years ago before I had my hip surgery, I was going to go to India. And there is the part of India that I definitely do not want to go and see. You know, India in my mind as a dirty shithole is not the kind of place I want to go to. India as a wonderful cultural experience that is a photographer's heaven, where the people are generally friendly and decent. Well, yeah, I'd like to go do that. And I was going to do that until I had my hip surgery, and then I canceled my flight, lost my ticket, basically. I had a free ticket, lost that free ticket. And I haven't gone, and I just don't really have the urge to go now. It's not a place that excites me where I'm thinking to myself, wow, I really want to go there. And to be honest, there are only a few places that excite me. And when I say excite now, it's not like I'm 20 years old and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm going here. I believe it because I went all over. I went to places that a lot of people will never experience and never go to. And there are still a lot of places to see. And so for these guys who have went to, say, 100, 150 countries, wow. I mean, you know, it can get tiring. It can get boring. And it can get to be work going from place to place. And that's what Steve and I were talking about, is where, you know, the joy that you have for being in a new place is outweighed by the amount of work it might take to get there, and the work it takes to assimilate into the city or the country well enough to where you really gain something from it. One of the members to my website. He likes to go places, and he goes for 2-3 days at a time, and I'm like, why do you do that? I just don't understand it. How do you, all you do is go, and it's basically you put yourself down in my opinion. You'd basically just go, you put your feet on the land, you look around, you chill out in the hotel for a while, then you go out and you go see a few things, and then boom, you're right back on the plane again. Whereas I like to go for a week or two. And when you're taking photos, that's, in my opinion, the way to do things. You don't just go and run in for 2 days. Oh, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go on the street, and I'm going to go get some great photos. Yeah, you might. I mean, it's hit or miss. But in my opinion, the way to do it is you spend a week or two. You get your face seen. You get people feeling comfortable with you in that area. And then you start whipping out the camera. Then you start taking photos. Then you start asking them if you could photograph them. You talk to them. You get to know them. They get to know you. They feel comfortable. And that's how I like to do things. And then you get to really know the culture and the people. I mean, I guess you can get to know the culture and the people in 2 days, but I don't, in my opinion, it takes me longer than that. I mean, quite frankly, I've been here for more than, 22 years now. And sometimes I still feel like I haven't got a fucking clue. You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, for people who come here for a month, 6 months, even a year, and they think, oh, yeah, man, Thailand, this is how the people are. And, you don't want to be that way because in Thailand, they don't really appreciate that. And, I hear these people talking all this shit, and it's like, okay, whatever. It could be shit or it could not be shit, But the basic premise for me is that when you go to a country, you're peeling away the layers that people have. It's just like an onion or somebody who's got five coats on because they're so cold. Once you get them inside, I mean, you get a woman inside and she's inside the house. She's got all her jackets on. She takes one off and then maybe she takes her hat off and you go, wow, she's got a nice face. She's very pretty. And then she takes another layer off. And then the next thing you know, you go, holy shit, this woman's gorgeous. Well, it's like an onion. I mean, you can think of it that way. You peel off the top layer, you're just getting the shit out of the way. You peel off another layer, you start to get to the meat. When you cut into it and you start chopping it up and you're right getting that the meat of the onion, the heart. That takes a while to get to when you're talking about a culture. There are people that, they study Russian culture and that's all they study for their entire life. And that's how they get to know it. So to go for a couple of days, I mean, it's very difficult. But that's not to say that you have to when you come to, say, Thailand or another country. But I think you just need to be respectful of it and understand that, you can be here for a few months and you get to know the country. You get to start to know the people and what they're like. But to truly know the place, it takes a lot longer. And, you know what? Today I am going to order something. And I highly suggest that if you get the chance to watch this movie, you watch it. I'm going to buy the book because I really enjoy the movie so much. And if you really need, for members, this is a members podcast. If you really need the movie, I have the movie and I can send it or give a link to it or whatever. I can send it via WeTransfer or something like that. I don't know how big the file is, but I have the movie. The name of the movie is Saint Jack. And it stars Ben Gazzara. If you know him, he's always played this little tough guy, mafioso kind of guy. But the reason that I like this movie and that I always suggest this movie, it has to do with Singapore. But it was Singapore in about almost 40 years ago. I think it's 1979. It's set in like 1979 or the late 70s. So about 40 years. The movie was made in 79. But it shows you what Singapore was like 40 years ago. And now you look at Singapore, it's completely fucking different. And that's what I think, what Thailand is trying to do, That's why they try to make it a little more difficult for certain types of people to come into their country. They want people to have more money. They want this. They want that. They probably know, hey, we, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are like, hey, we want our country to be like Singapore. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but it very well could. In this movie, I really like this movie. Basically, I'll just give you a little idea what the movie's about. I think it's an underrated movie. It does, the reviews are pretty good about it. You know, it is an older movie, but you do get to see what the people were like and back in that time. And this is, you know, you're talking about a generation ago. But basically, Ben Gazzara is the foreigner. He is the outsider who's living in Singapore. He works for a Chinese guy. That's how he has his, I guess, his work permit. That's how he has his visa. And he's living there, but he wants to start a brothel because he's the everything, the go-to guy, which... You know, I can relate to that because I have people that are, you know, always asking me to help them do this and do that. The trick is to get people that, you know, are willing to pay because time is money. I don't have enough time in the fucking day to do everything as it is now. I mean, seriously, I think to myself, yeah, I'm a stay-at-home kind of dad in the sense that I have to be home when my kids get home, or most of the time. I mean, you know, I try to be home. I don't have to be. They can fend for themselves. But, you know, I like to be home when they get home. I never see them off in the morning because I'm usually asleep or I'm just laying in bed and I just don't want to deal with them. And they don't need anybody's help anymore. They get up themselves and they get themselves off to school and everything, which is, you know, that's how it should be. You know, for the most part, I don't have a lot of time. Now, this guy basically wanted to start a brothel, and it shows how, hey, you're the outsider. We don't want you here. So if you think that Thailand has that sort of mentality and it's exclusive to Thailand, you'd be wrong for sure. I don't think many people think that, but they definitely think it about Thailand. And while, you know, the thing is you just don't get yourself involved in those kind of situations. I mean, I wouldn't open up a brothel here, at least in my name. Ever. Well, he tries to open a brothel and he wants to open one. He's got to have the money. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. He's got to go through he's got to jump through some hoops. He's trying to stay afloat. He's trying to be a decent guy, you know, but, he's trying to make a buck. And, I really like the movie. So if anybody out there really wants the movie, I can either give you a link to it. I don't even know if you can purchase it online. I think maybe you can. I have the movie. Like I said, if somebody really wants it, I'll upload it or send it to them or whatever. But I think it gives a good idea of the old versus the new. And I think that Thailand is going through that and has been for, say, the last 10 or 15 years. They're trying to modernize. They don't want to be viewed in the way that they are viewed. But they know that they need that money from prostitution, or that money helps quite a bit, and it helps bring in people. And I don't think that a lot of people have a real problem with it, as long as the women are of age and it's their free will. The problem is that some of the women, and especially true of the women on the borders and women who are dealing with Thai men, not foreigners. But some of them are there, and they're there because their family borrowed money. In order to pay back the money, the girl's got to work in the brothel and work it off and that kind of thing. I just got a message for somebody yesterday. I don't know if the lady's a troll or not. And she said, you know, I hate guys like you. All you do is go to a country like Thailand to have sex with as many women as you can have. And, well, first of all, I got one word answer. So, what? You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I never have had a problem with prostitution. I think every country should legalize it, and they'd probably have far less problems in the world if you did. But, okay, so let's say that, you know, okay, yeah, all right, so let's get to point number B, point number two. I don't engage in that kind of thing. Did I? Have I? Yeah, okay. But you know what? This is the thing that a lot of people don't understand. And when I first came over here, you'd go out to a club and you'd say to some girl, hey, you know, what's going on? Hey, how you doing, honey? And the next thing you know, you're dancing, you're having a good time, you're talking. You want a drink, baby? Yeah, okay, here you go. Here's your drink. Then the girl says, hey, can I come back with you? I'll never forget when the first time the girl said to me, I go with you? I said, go where? Where do you want to go? Go back to your room. Ah, okay, sure. And then, you know, it's like in the morning, she's like, can you give me 500 baht? I hadn't had a fucking clue. I didn't know what the fuck to do. I knew maybe I was going to have to pay, but I was like, I don't know how much to pay. I don't know what. Can you give me 500 baht? In my day, when I first came over here, it was 500 baht. And I think it was the very first time that I pulled. Yeah, it was the first time that I was with anybody. There, I was with two women. I went to Nana Disco, and I don't even know if it was called Angels then. I don't remember. But everybody knows it as Nana. And I go into the place because I heard that was the place to go. I go in. I'm like, yeah, you know, this place is all right. Then all of a sudden, they shut down. I was like, what the hell's going on? Yeah, it's like 4 in the morning. I walk outside. There's a bunch of people. I start walking home. I see these two girls. They were walking. They were coming out from the disco, from Nana Disco. I start walking. They're walking. Hey, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. Why you go alone? I don't know. I got nobody to go with me. You and I go with you. Go where? Where are we going to go? Go to your room. Okay. You know, the next morning, I got two girls there cleaning my room. You know, they clean my pipes. They clean my room. Folding my clothes, and they're like, can we have 500 baht each? Can you pay me 500? And the other one's like, yeah, 500. Sure. Yeah, no problem. And at the time, you know, it was like 42 to the dollar or something. I don't know how much it was at the time. Honestly, I don't remember back then who it was. I know it went up all the way to like 52, 54, something like that. But before then, I was here before then. And I, you know, it might have been, it cost me like, you know, what, 30 bucks or something, 25 bucks for both girls. I was like, Jesus Christ, these girls came to my place, they showered me, they massaged me, they fucked and sucked me, they cleaned my room, they folded my clothes, and they left with a smile on their face, and they were happy, and they were nice to me. And all they wanted was, you know, like $12 each. I was like, all right, you know, that's not bad. I mean, I understand. Hey, we all got to eat. So when somebody writes to me about this kind of shit, you know, to me, I was like, it's like, hey, baby, you want a blowjob? I suck your dick. You give me $10. That's not what I experienced in the beginning. Now a lot of people experience that. The girls are a lot more open. And, you know, it did happen back then, but it just, I don't think it was as prevalent. They were a little more tactful, and they did a little bit more for your money. So, you know, and I got this letter the other day. I think it was a phony letter. I think the guy was basically talking out his ass. But one thing he said was, you know, I paid 3,000 baht, and the girl went with me. We left at 1 o'clock in the morning. We did our business. We went to sleep for a couple hours. She woke up. He said, I'm asleep. She wakes me up at 6:30 in the morning. She's like, I gotta go. He's like, oh, you're gonna go now? And he's like, no breakfast, no more, no round two, no nothing. I gotta go. And she left. And he was like, is this normal? Well, it's a hell of a lot more normal than it used to be, because it didn't used to be like that. I can tell you that there were a lot of girls that would, they'd come to your room and they would clean your room up. And I mean, I had girls that lived in my apartment complex who would come over once in a while just to watch TV. They'd come over and watch TV with me because they just wanted to hang out. And they would clean my room up. And I wouldn't, you know, I'd be like, I just had some chick this morning. I don't feel like fucking around with this girl. And they never asked for any money. They'd clean the room up for you, you know. And then sometimes I'd be like, hey, I need my room cleaned. Would you come over? They'd clean my room up, and then they'd fuck me. And I'd be like, all right, here's 500 baht. I mean, you know, to me, I was like, doesn't seem like prostitution to me. And I think that that's where a lot of guys, they start believing that maybe the prostitution scene in Thailand is different than anywhere else. It all boils down to, you know, you got to pay for it with women in, if the money that goes out of your hand and you had sex with them and it was specifically for the sex, well, then that's, you know, that's straight up prostitution. But when you start doing things and you're like, oh, you know, listen, you know, let's go out and get something to eat, you know, and, you know, you buy them dinner. You bring them back to your place. You have sex with them. They stay over into the morning. You have breakfast. They come back. You have sex with them again. They clean up your room. They fold your clothes. They might even wash your clothes. And then they're like, oh, I got to go. And you're like, hey, you know, here's 10, 15 bucks. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know. So, but obviously the woman who wrote me, she really thought that, there, you know, I was just a piece of shit, which I really don't give a fuck about. But I thought I'd bring that up because it is interesting to hear and to see how people view this. And I never had a problem with it because if the girl wants the money and she wants to do it, what? I mean, you know, if she's a fucking grown-up, this is the thing. People they're grown adults. Where is the line where you say, this person's a grown adult, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing, she's forced into this, and where is the line where she's doing it of her own fucking free will? Well, it's very easy to determine in many cases, because if the girl wants to do it, she's going to do it. If she's pressured into having sex and she really doesn't want to be there, or she's being forced in a sense of trying to pay back a loan or something like that, they may feel, some of the girls may actually feel like, because they borrowed the money, and the right thing to do is to pay it back, and this is the only way they can pay it back. They don't like it, but you know what? They're doing the honorable thing. So, you know, you got to understand, they have, their perspective about it may not be the same as our perspective, and certainly not as some people in the West believe, which is why, you know, a lot of times you go, I'm going to Bangkok, oh, hangover, oh, you know, them loose girls over there, oh, yeah, loose girls. All right, I tell you what, walk up to some girl in the mall and say, I want to fuck you right now and see what happens to you. Grab her ass and see how fucking loose she is, okay? And we'll see just what happens. Anyway, that's all I got. I've rambled on long enough. I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Until next time, choke D, lat jerk and my. That's good luck, and until next time, see you later.